Thank you, Lord. Thank you for testimonies. Thank you, God, we overcome the enemy by your blood and the power of our testimony. God, we thank you for freedom. You know, I'm going to preach, but I just think I've got one or two words I think I want to just bring very quickly. One is someone who has massive panic attacks, anxiety attacks. There's a little thing in there, this picture of this cross on your heart and this call button. And I think there's someone who has really bad panic attacks, but, you know, God's going to heal you tonight. Another thing is this little thing here, you put it on stuff, you tighten the screwdriver, it tightens it all up. But written at what? It's a Jubilee. So anyone who used to go to Jubilee, this? No. So it's got pearl written on it. You know, in the Bible, it calls us pearls of great price. But this thing's tightening up. And I think someone, you know, one of you in here, your faith with God, your walk with God, your Christianity's been strangled a little bit. And it's like it's been constrained a lot. So again, I think, you know what? You're going to be set free tonight. So God, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you for newness and new life. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. And I'm just trying to find where I am. Oh, yeah, that's where I am. So I'm going to be a dad again. Kid number 5. Hallelujah. We went for our scan today, and we lost a baby after our Rebecca. We lost 2 babies and by scan. So going to that first scan is really difficult for us all the time, you know. This morning, we woke up in righteousness. We walked out in righteousness, but in the car, we were in all kinds of stuss. It wasn't righteousness, stressness, angerness. But thank God, you know, all's well. So we'll be moving on, I think, to a bigger house. So the Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You know, I like nature. I love watching nature programs. And I always love them programs where it shows you the turtle. These big turtles with these big whopping shells on their back. And nothing can hurt them. Nothing can harm them. Nothing can get close to them. But then I watched this program once and it showed you this eagle, this massive eagle. And it jumps down and it grabs this turtle. And this turtle basically just goes into its shell. And the eagle can't get it. He's trying to claw it and get it, but it can't do it. But then it shows you this eagle just grabs this turtle in its claw. It goes really, really high in the air. Just flies higher and higher and higher. And then it gets to a certain point, just lets it go. Bang! And this thing smashes on the floor. And it keeps doing it over and over and over again till eventually this tortoise's shell is just shattered on the floor. And this eagle literally just comes down and just picks and pecks its way and just has its way at this thing that's lying open. You know, open to be destroyed. You know, the truth is for us as Christians, before we come to Christ, and often after we've come to Christ, the devil does exactly the same thing to us. He shatters us and destroys us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually in many different ways, to the point where we're that broken, we're that shattered, that he just comes and has his way with us and does pretty much whatever he wants. And all this stuff really just affects our ability. It affects our ability to be who we're meant to be, and it affects our ability to function, how we're supposed to function as Christians. You know, what we need is we need fixing, we need sorting out, we need making better. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. Basically, that just means to pick all the pieces up and wrap bandage around it. And that's what Jesus came to do for us, and that's what it means. And you know, over these last few weeks, you've been sitting in these groups, you've come here faithfully every week. You know, I'm looking around this room and I know some of you have sacrificed certain things to be here. And you've been coming week by week by week, opening yourself up, being honest, being true. A little bit of what Keena said, and just being yourself. You know what? Being honest with you, firstly, and also being honest in your group, to your group leaders and all the people that are with you. And, you know, also exposing yourself, I suppose, to everybody else. And the first time I ever did this message, I felt the Lord very clearly tell me to say something to the people I spoke to then. And it's not changed since. And it's to just say, well done to you. Well done for coming. Well done for being open. Well done for being honest. Well done for humbling yourself. Well done for surrendering yourself. And well done most of all for placing yourselves in the hands of the master surgeon, who is Jesus. You know, I had a vision about this talk one night, and what I saw was a person who basically was on an operating table. And they were on one of these operating tables with all the green stuff around them, and the rib cage was opened up, and they were having this heart transplant. And this surgeon was doing all this work on him. And then when they finished the work, they obviously fixed him back up. And tonight, I think that's going to happen for all of you. For every single one of you in this room, you've allowed yourself to be worked on week after week after week. And you know, tonight, I believe God's going to heal your heart. He's going to put that thing back in your chest. He's going to get closed back up. And this part of your journey on this course in your life and your walk with God is going to be completed. It's going to be finished. You know, Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. That word brokenhearted doesn't just mean this soft thing in the middle of our chest. Our hearts in the Bible isn't just that what beats. It's a lot of things. It's our minds, it's our souls, it's our laughter, it's our joy, it's our emotions. It's basically all of the thing that makes us who we are. It's all of our inner man, all of our inner being. And those things can be smashed and destroyed in many different ways. Many different parts of us can be crushed and broken and bruised. And do you know what? All I want to do quickly, or as long as I've got, is just highlight a couple of the things that can be broken in us that Jesus came to bind up, to fix, to put back together properly. The first one is the emotions. This lighting is terrible, isn't it? Is the emotions. You know, you've heard that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones. Have you heard that in Estonia? Have you heard it, Janet? Okay, so we've all heard it. So sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We all heard that as a kid, but it's just not true. You know, I broke my knee when I was a little kid. My brother pushed me out of the bed and my knee got healed. But I tell you what, you know, some of the things that got said, some of the things that happened, you know, they didn't heal so quickly. And you know, some of the words that have been spoken to us in our life, some of the looks we've had, some of the actions that have been done to us from other people, they can often take an absolute lifetime for us to recover from. You know, when we're emotionally broken, the weird thing is, though, it doesn't happen like the turtle shell. We don't get emotionally broken and just break apart and shatter. That doesn't work like that. It doesn't happen like that. When we get emotionally broken, the opposite thing happens. You see, emotionally, when we get hurt, instead of breaking apart, we just start hardening up. We start to kind of build walls around ourselves. Walls that are there really to help us survive and protect us and keep us safe. You know, the good thing is those walls work. And they do keep us safe. They keep bad things out of our life. But the sad thing about them walls is this. Is they also keep good things out of our life too. They also stop things that are going to help us and bless us from getting in. You know, I had this storybook I read to our kids, or I used to a lot. And our faith's favorite story is about this giant. And this giant, it was the last story in the book. And this giant, basically all the kids used to play in his garden. And he loved it, and he was dead happy, and all the kids loved it. They were dead happy. And then one day the giant goes and visits his cousin or his friend up in the icy mountains. And his friend basically says, look, they're having your life, you know. They don't care about you. They don't like you. They don't love you. They're not your friend. They're just using you for your garden. And as he starts hearing all this, he starts to harden up and he goes back home. And he builds this big wall around his garden. And he basically chases all the kids out and scares them away. And he showed you this giant in this book year after year after year. He sat and his garden's empty with no kids. But outside the world goes on. And then the picture shows you as you turn the page is the giant looking out of his window. And outside his wall, there's trees, there's fruit, there's all life. But inside his wall, there's no life. It's snowy, it's covered, it's icy, it's just dead and barren. And one day this giant wakes up and he hears laughter in the garden. And he jumps to his window and he's about to go running out and chase these kids away. But as he looks on the branch where these kids are swinging, this branch isn't icy and cold, it's brown. And at the end of it, there's apples and fruit growing off it. And as this giant sees this life and sees this color and sees this fruit, in that moment, then his heart begins to melt. And he runs outside and the kids see him and they go to run off afraid. But instead of chasing him, he just smashes all the wall down. And the next picture then is this garden full of life, full of joy, full of laughter, full of color. You know, when Stella did the first ever Route 61, on this night, on this talk, on this topic, God showed her a picture. And he showed her a picture of this heart. It was her heart. And he showed her how her heart had started becoming hard from the outside in. And this heart was like this heart of stone. And as she saw this picture, God took her heart and he tapped on this heart. Let me see if I can do this. Oh, it's not the same. Let me do it like this. And as God tapped on the heart with his finger like that, all the stone stuff just crumbled and just fell away. And his heart of flesh was just revealed beneath it. And you know, the truth is, that's the same for us. It's the same for a lot of us in this room. You know, the reality is none of us are born with a heart of stone. Every single one of us, when we're born, have a heart of flesh. We have a heart that's full of life and everything else. But you know, over the years, as we get bruised and we get hurt, that heart just becomes harder and harder and harder and harder. And tonight, what I want to say to you all is just a very clear, simple thing of the Lord. It's this. Tonight, there's freedom coming for every single one of you. That wall of Jericho that's around all of your hearts is going to come down in seconds. You're going to hear joy and laughter inside you again like you haven't done for a long time. The only condition is that you just allow God to just tap, tap, tap away at your heart. You know, the second thing we can have broken in our life, our hearts broken, is our conscience. Now, conscience just means with knowledge. It basically means when we do something wrong, we know what we're doing. So when I was younger and I robbed someone's shed to get all the ice cream out of the freezer, I knew it was wrong. When I told a lie, I knew it was wrong. When I did certain things I was older, I knew that was wrong, because this is what the conscience is for. It means when you do something wrong, when you sin, when you break God's law, when you do something to hurt another human being, you do it basically with knowledge of what you're doing. And your conscience is just like this alarm. It's like a button. And when you do something wrong, this buzzer goes off. And it lets you know you shouldn't be doing that. And you've got a choice then when this alarm goes off. You can either listen to that alarm and you can stop doing what you're doing to stop the buzzer going off, or you can ignore it. But the reality is, if you ignore it, it's like a little weight. Every time you do something wrong, it's just a little weight gets left on the button. And over time, weight after weight after weight builds up till the point where the button just doesn't work anymore. It stops going off. You know, at that point, your conscience is broken. And when you get that far down in your life, you find yourself doing things you'd never ever thought possible. You know, I spoke to a lad the other month, 2 years ago now, who had this charity about pornography and stuff for men, Christian men who did pornography. He started this charity because of his dad. His dad was a pastor. He was a good man and all this different stuff. But one day the police come to his door and they arrested him. They arrested him. They found thousands of images of young children on his computer. This man got sentenced. He got charged and everything else. And he ended up killing himself and dying. You know, when they started looking through his computer, the police basically came and spoke to the woman and her kids and said, look, you know, we want you to tell you something just so you don't have this poisoned image of this man for the rest of your life. As policemen, as computer people, we know what we're looking at. And we can tell you the journey that your husband took to get to the point where he got to is pretty evident on his computer. It starts off with something simple and small, something insignificant and innocent. But it'd have been enough to give him a warning. But it just gets worse and worse and worse. And like I said, it took him to the point where he did something I suppose he could never have imagined. You know, our conscience is given off God for our safety. It's there for our protection. It's there to keep us well and keep us right. And the truth is, we ignore our conscience at our own peril. And we need it cleaning. And that's how it gets fixed. It gets washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The burden gets taken off the button, so it begins to work again. And when we do something wrong, we know it instantly. And now, being who you are right now in this room, you then know what you know, and you just choose to stop doing that. And you start living righteously and holy the way you can, and live a life pleasing to Him. Now, thirdly, What can be broken is our minds. You know, have you heard that saying, I think, therefore I am? You've heard that saying, yeah? I think, therefore I am. I think in the Bible it says, as a man thinks, then, you know, therefore he is, or something like that. But you know what the truth is? That's good, isn't it, when you think good about yourself? That's good when you're me. And you can look in the mirror and say, how awesome am I? Now I'm joking. Truth is, I can do that in the Lord. But it's good when that image is good. It's good when what you see looking back at you is a good thing. It's good that as I think, therefore I am, is when you think good about yourself. It's not so good when you think bad about yourself. It's not so good when you look in the mirror and what you see isn't the truth. Or when you see the lie, or when you see the past, or when you see something that isn't right. That's not good. All of a sudden, and I think therefore I am, is not a good thing. In that sense, our mind can be shattered and destroyed in lots of different ways. Our view's well off, and it's well wrong. You know, a lot of us in here tonight can look at ourselves and see different words, can't we? Worthless, no good, failure, misery, angry. I mean, all these different words, all part of our past, all part of who we used to be. That kind of just come at us all the time. Lie after lie after lie after lie, word after word after word. All of us pretty much telling us that we're all worthless. That we're this and that because of what we've been through. You know, I want to tell you it's not the truth. It's not the truth. I'm going to do a talk in a couple of weeks on identity, and we'll cover that a little bit more about what's the truth. But what I want you to do right now for me is just stand to your feet. Is that all right? You do that thing for me, bro. In fact, leave it. Just leave it for now. I'm going to do a little thing. Did you say 9? Oh, cool. Awesome. I've got a little thing I do at the schools, all right? And at the schools, you all know my life story, don't you? Yeah? Okay, let me give you in 3 seconds, all right? I was born. Now I'm here now. I was born. My mum was a heroin addict. My dad was. My whole family was messed up. I was bullied and I just didn't feel so good about myself as I grew up. My mum went to prison when I was 9. I then went to a different part of the country. I then came home. I had all these labels I lived under. Police didn't like me. I was written off for lots of different things. But basically, I just killed all my dreams off. I got involved with gangs. I got involved with a lot of stuff. And the end of my life, I ended up spent about 5 years in prison, getting out of gangs in some really scary, heinous situations. I got beaten, kidnapped, sexually assaulted. Lots of different stuff happened to me to the point where I was in prison at 24. I couldn't sleep because I was that terrified of sleeping because of my nightmares. And I was chased by fears in a day, chased by fears every night. Then I met Jesus. Jesus took all my burdens away and set me free and set my mind free and everything else. And so I basically go in schools and tell my life story for 40-odd minutes or whatever it is. And then at this point, I say, look, can you admit I've just been honest with you about who I am? And these kids will say, yeah. I then say, right, are you ready to be honest with yourselves? And they'll say, yeah. So then I get them to do what you've done right now. And what I want to focus on right now is the truth of who you actually are. The truth of your value. You know, we all determine what our worth is based upon past, people, looks, things, whatever, mistakes. We don't often see ourselves in the revelation of who we are in Jesus. We often think of the past. So what I say is this. I'm going to count down from number 10 to 0. And these numbers, as I get to them, are going to reflect your value, how you see yourself, what you're worth. When you look in the mirror, Julie, when you look in the mirror, it's what you see. When you look in the mirror, Bob, it's what you see. Santa, when you look in the mirror, it's what you see. It's not just the mirror. It's also that little quiet voice when everything's silent in the nighttime and all's quiet. It's those little voices we get all through the day. So 10 is the bee's knees. You are the bee's knees. You cannot be improved in any way whatsoever. Then we go down 9, 8, 7, 6 to 5. 5 is it could be worse, it could be better. And we go down 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And 0 is what I was. 0 is what I used to be. So are you ready to be honest with yourself? That's an open-ended question. Are you ready to be honest with yourselves? Okay. So if you're a 10, sit down. If you're a 9, sit down. If you're an 8, sit down. If you're a 7, sit down. If you're a 6, sit down. If you're a 5, sit down. Okay, if you're a 4, sit down. If you're a 3, sit down. Okay. I need someone to do this who hasn't done this before. Phil, will you do this for me? What's your name? Samantha, will you just come and stand here at the front next to Tom for me? Now, I'm going to do something now very quickly. Phil, you stand next to Samantha, bro. In fact, you know what, brother? It's all right. I don't need you to. Thanks, but thank you. I'm going to do something with Samantha right now, okay? I'm going to take her through this little dialogue, all right? But what I want all of you to do is I want you to just stay in this moment and imagine I'm speaking to you, okay? One-to-one, directly, I'm asking you the same questions, okay? So you put that up for me, bro. So Samantha, do you know what that is? What is it? Sunflowers. Van Gogh, yeah? A work of art. A masterpiece, yeah? So what you want to imagine is this. I want you to imagine that that's your Van Gogh, okay? I want you to imagine that Van Gogh is worth £40 million, yeah? Now, we also want you to imagine that there's another 40 of these on the planet right now. So there's 40 Van Goghs with 40 million each, okay? And you've got one of them, yeah? So would you sell me your Van Gogh for 40 million quid? Would you sell it me for 80 million quid? So bear in mind with the 80 million, this is reality. You could have 40 million in the bank and you could get one exactly the same, all right? That's what 80 million could get you, okay? Would you sell it for 120 million? Would you sell it for 500 million? No? Would you sell it for £2 billion? Okay. Why not? You don't think it's good enough? You don't? And it's yours, okay? Let's just say it was good enough, and it was worth 80 million. I could give you 80 million. Just go with me on this, okay? Say I could give you 80 million. You could have 40 million in your bank, another one exactly the same. Would you go for it? Just say yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks. So what I want you to imagine is this. I want you to imagine, okay? Imagine you did sell it me. Now imagine tonight, by some freak accident, every Van Gogh on the planet is destroyed, okay? Mm-hmm. Wake up tomorrow, your Van Gogh is the only Van Gogh left. Okay? Mm-hmm. Would you sell it me now for 80 million quid?
Yeah.
Even though it's the last one now?
Yeah?
Yeah? Would anyone not sell it? You don't have to pretend now, this is real.
Yeah.
Would you sell it for 80 million?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you sell it for 80 million? Would you sell it for 80 million? Would you sell it for 80 million? Would you? Would you sell it for 80 million? Who wouldn't sell it for 200 million? Put your hand up. If you wouldn't sell it for 200 million, put your hand up. Just have a look at these hands. If you wouldn't sell it for 500 million, keep your hand up. How about 2 billion? Who wouldn't sell it for 2 billion pounds? You'd be sold at 2 billion. Let me just put something to you. Do you follow football at all? You know Roman Abramovich, the owner of Chelsea? He owns Chelsea. He's a billionaire. Sheikh Mansour is also another billionaire. So imagine this. Imagine that those two men are at a party. It's at their house. And they've got this little room they've built special for the last Van Gogh on the planet. How much do you think them billionaires would be willing to pay for that Van Gogh? To say, oh, have you seen this? Because when everyone's got everything, it prays to have that one thing that's left in it. What do you think those two would pay for that? Just about anything. So what does that make it? What does that make this Van Gogh? What's its value?
Priceless.
It's what?
Priceless.
Well, you know, Samantha, do you know what the truth is? That's you. That's your value. That's your worth. That's exactly what God says you are. God says, you are my masterpiece, Samantha, created in my image. You are awesome and you are very loved. Give her a big hand for being really brave. Thank you. Give her a big hand. Awesome. And listen, guys, the truth is, that truth is the same for every single one of us. It's the same for me, it's the same for you, it's the same for all of you. The reality is none of us are a one, none of us are a four or a seven or a nine. Every single one of us, every single second of every single day is a 10. That's our true value. That's what we're truly worth. That's who we are to God. That's who we are in God's image. And that makes all of us pretty special to me. So here's the reality of that. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. Stop being so hard on yourself all the time, putting yourself down all the time. Start seeing yourself for who you truly are. Stop dressing up in this wardrobe of negativity every morning, you know. I often say, like, put your earrings of self-loathing on and, you know, your perfume of disgust and whatever else. Change your wardrobe. Put your earrings on of, you know, absolute awesome love and your necklace of beloved and reconciled and all these awesome words that are in the Bible. Dress the way God wants you to dress as his son and as his daughter. Fill your life with truth. Fill your life with the word of God. Fill your life with what is really, absolutely, 100% real. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Samantha, I pray for you now and I prophesy for you now that God is going to show you so many young women, so many girls, you are going to set absolutely free from this imprisonment in their minds that their value is absolutely zero. And I tell you, a hero of mine says God will take you from a zero to a hero. And I prophesy for you, that's going to be your life. A lot of people from zeros to heroes. Thank you, God, for giving her eyes to see. Thank you for discernment. You know, next thing that can be broken is our spirits. We can be broken spiritually, shattered spiritually, destroyed spiritually. This is like a boxer who's took that many punches, he's now on the canvas. He just can't take any more. You know, we can be like that. Spiritually, we can. We can just be beat. We've just literally run up out of anything to get us back up. We're just kicked in and we can't get up anymore. There's no fight left in us. We've took too many punches, too many blows, and in a sense, we've just given up. We give up. We give up. And we do that a lot. You know the sad thing about this is when our spirits get broken, like we lay on that canvas and we're broken and we're beaten and we're down, it's not like that's it. It isn't just that you lay down on the canvas and that's it. See, the worst thing is that once you're out, all of a sudden then, that's when it gets really bad. Because all of a sudden then, in that moment, is when your identity, all of that stuff starts getting attacked, even worse. And from just taking a beating, you're now down and you can't get back up. It's impossible for you. Often, where you just really struggle, you can't get back up. And you just lie there taking this beating. Your identity is taking this beating. The truth's taking a beating. Your value's taking a beating. All of it takes a beating. And you're basically undone. You've got no hope, no strength. You know, I watched this program of the Twin Towers. I don't know if anyone saw it, but it showed you three stories. One was a South Korean guy. One was this big guy. One was another guy. And they were on three different floors. And they run down the floors. They were running down, running down, running down. And basically, so far down, this man, he was a big man, he was a large man, he just gave up. He sits down on the steps, and he sat down, and this is true, this is real, this really happened. And then one of the guys who was at the front carried on walking down the next flight, in fact, running down the next flight, and he stood on this flight here. The South Korean guy's on the flight up, and the guy who gave up is on this flight here. So he sat down, giving up. The South Korean guy said, come on, we need to go, we need to go, we've got to go. Get up, we need to go. This guy said, I'm not going. All of a sudden, all these firemen come running up the stairs past them. The firemen say to him, get down the stairs, get down now. This guy on the step at the bottom is saying to the South Korean guy, look, we're going to have to leave him. We've got to go, we've got to go, and they go. It shows you these guys running off, and next thing, the screen goes blank. Then you hear this sobbing. And then this camera opens up and there's a woman sat there. This woman's crying. She says, "I'm so angry at him." And at the bottom it says, "This man's wife." She says, "I'm so angry at him." And then all of a sudden you see his daughters, teenage daughters. And they say, "You know what the truth is? The saddest thing is he didn't understand how important he was to us. He didn't know how much he mattered to us." And they were broken and all of that stuff. You know, I want to tell every single one of you that you matter. You matter to each other. You matter to this church. You definitely matter to Jesus. For some of us, it's time to get up. You know, the way to defeat this stuff when you're spiritually broken is you just need hope and you need strength. And often when you get that hope and that strength, it's like Rocky Marciano in Rocky 2. You can just get up again. You can get up and you can stand in front of the enemy and you can knock him clean out of the ring. But you need the hope to do that. You need the strength to do that. And that stuff just comes from Jesus. All of that hope, all of that strength comes from the Lord. If you've got a broken spirit, then God can say right again. You know, Isaiah 40, 31, you'd have to read that. I'll just read it to you. It says, "They who wait for the Lord will renew their strength, and they'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint." You know, that word wait just means be expectant. It means look for, have faith, pull it all together. I want to tell you right now, there's strength coming in this room for you tonight, very soon. So be expectant and have faith. God's going to take your heart of stone. He's going to give you a heart of flesh. He's going to give you a heart transplant. You're going to be transformed and renewed from the inside out. A brand new you with a brand new heart. You know, the truth is God loves you. He absolutely loves you. And you matter to him. Our lives matter to him. Where we go matters to him. Who we are matters to him. And like any dad, he just wants to pick us up. He just wants to pick every piece up. Put our hearts back together to fix us and put us back on our feet. Do you know why? Just so we can live the life that we're supposed to live, which is a life of freedom. Jesus came to set us free. Not live in prisons and bondages. The devil's been defeated. He's under the enemy's feet. He's crushed him. We're more than conquerors. We're sons of God. You know, we can get so focused on our stuff that we lose sight of who we truly are. And Jesus came to give us a right relationship and fix that again. You know, if I break my leg, if I walked outside now and I fell over and broke my leg, I'd go on a journey. That journey would involve a couple of things. One of the things is I'd go to the hospital. I'd go and sit in the waiting room for hours, wouldn't I? And then I'd go to the doctor's. And then I'd go and sit in front of the doctor. And he'd look at my leg. And he'd fix my leg. And he'd put it all back together. And I'd have to trust this guy. I'd have to put my faith in this guy. And then he'd heal me. He'd stitch me all back up. He'd put that brown stuff on that cleans all my wounds up. And then he'd bind me up. And he'd send me off to let that healing process begin. Well, God does exactly the same thing with us. He does exactly the same thing. That's all he does with us. We come to him with our life. We come to him with our stuff. We come to him with our hearts. And we ask him to do that same process, the same healing, the same journey. But the truth is, he can only do this if we allow him. It'll only work if you allow him to do it. If you allow him to just pick you up in a moment, to kind of put you on this table, to open you up, to operate on you, to fix you back up so you can walk away. You know, for years, I was a Christian, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. That was my life. One minute I'm Smith Wigglesworth, literally. The next minute I'm Barabbas, literally. I was like hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. I never had any balance. Someone could say something to me and it wounded me for months. I was full of rejection issues, full of all the stuff. It's basically like I'd never been saved because my heart was such a mess. Inside, I was such a mess. I remember then we went on this Hillsong thing, which was basically a shorter process of what you're doing on Route 61. And I knew going in that encounter that I was going to get this opportunity or something was going to happen where I met God as my Father in a sense. I'd known God as God since prison. I always knew God was God. I'd always known that stuff. But you know what the reality was? I wanted to see certain things. I wanted to be blasted in the Holy Spirit. I wanted to pray for the sick and see them get healed. But all of it was about me. I felt if I prayed for Andy and he got healed, then in a way it was like, because I had gang mentality in my head. It was a way of God saying to me, you're in, son. You're one of us. And I wanted to be blasted across the room like Graham was so that I knew he loved me. Because if I didn't feel it, I didn't feel loved. And so I had all these issues going on all the time. But it was all about me. And I remember going to the Hillsong the first day, they were on about Father, 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 and wrote in my pad. I remember writing in my pad, God, I'm really scared. I'm hearing this word Father and it's leaving me at a loss. Because I don't know what it is. So please, when I leave here, can I leave here with a dad? I went through this journey of a few days process. They call it Mournful Monday, Tearful Tuesday, Weeping Wednesday, Triumphant Thursday or something, Freedom Friday. You know, I thought it was all a gimmick, but it turned out to be true. But I tell you, there came a point where I kind of got to this place where it was like all the stuff had come out of me. But then I came to a point where I was saying to God, look, you know, I trust you. I trust you. And I never said that before, I don't think. And I remember just saying that, I trust you. I trust you. I remember when we'd lost the baby and we were back at the Oakwood then. I remember going to the church on a Sunday. And you know what? There's that scripture, isn't it, in Job, that even now, or nevertheless. And I remember having one of them nevertheless moments for me, you know. I'm in the middle of the church. We've prayed, we've fasted, we've believed. We've gone back for a second scan. It's still as it is. But you know what? Nevertheless. And so I had that opportunity then to keep my hands down. Or to kind of lift him up and praise God. And I did. But I tell you, I'd gone through all that. But still on this day, I had to say, God, I trust you. And as I said that over and over and over again, something happened. I remember after that, writing in my little pad, you know that he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. You know that poem? Writing down, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. There's no he loves me not. It's all he loves me. It's all he loves me. It's all he loves me. So what I want you to do is just stand up and we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray. And as I pray, we're going to go on this journey. We're going to go on this journey by the Holy Spirit. You put that little music on, brother, just low. So I just want you to open yourself up now to the Lord, not to me. You know, this is just words on a piece of paper. You understand that, don't you? What I've written down is just words on paper. But these are the words of the Lord. And what happens right now in you is God, it's not me. So just pray me quickly. Holy Spirit, I surrender myself to you. I place myself in the hands of Jesus. And I ask you to operate on me. So just close your eyes. You know, in your life, the things you've been through, just like if I broke my leg, you know, it's painful. There's pain in your past, there's pain in your wounds, there's pain in the things you've been through. You know, you can often be in a place where you don't want people to touch that. If I had a bone sticking out of my leg, I wouldn't want the doctor to touch it. And, you know, it's the same for us. Don't get too close. Don't get too near. Don't touch that. It's going to hurt. And you know, it can make us scared. And we can be afraid. And you know, we can be afraid of Jesus. But I want to encourage you to just see his love. See God's love for you. See what he lived through. See what Jesus lived through. Know that Jesus bore all of your stuff on the cross. All of the actions you've made in your life. All of the choices you made in your life, all of that was laid upon him on the cross. You know, Jesus on the cross became all of our guilt, all of your fears, all of your shames, all of your hurts, all of your pains, and he carried those things, all of your thoughts, all your unforgiveness, all of your worries, all of your broken dreams, all of that straight into the pit of hell. All of that for you. All of that so you can be free. Because Jesus loves you. Jesus did that so that a father and his child and his children could be reconciled. You know, God loves you so much. And you don't need to be afraid of him. So right now, I just want you to open your hands and just give him your pain. You don't have to go all mental with this. He'll take it away. Just open yourself and he'll take it away. You know, in place of that, just receive his love. As all that fear goes away, God's perfect love drives it all out. Perfect love drives out fear, and his love is absolutely perfect. See his love and surrender to it. See your issues, surrender them to him. And ask him now, just pray this, Lord Jesus, I surrender everything that blocks you moving and filling me with your love. Take what I've offered and take everything that I can't remember. And I thank you for taking it away. And I ask you now to fill me with your love. You know, the second thing we need to do is then we need to trust him. The way I trust that doctor, we need to trust Jesus. You know, when our hearts are broken, when our bodies are broken, when our lives are broken, when our spirits are broken, when we're broken in all these different ways, the one thing that happens is we lose trust. We lose trust in people, we lose trust in life, we lose trust in God, we lose trust in situations. We lose trust. And that trust needs to be restored. You know, trust can only be restored when you trust again. It can't be restored any other way. So again, look at what God's done. Look at what God brought you from. I was a bum in a jail cell down the road, 24 years of age, with nothing good, nothing to show. That's where he brought me from. But what's he brought you from? Think of all the goodness he's brought into your life. Think of all the good things God's done. Let me ask you, hasn't he done enough? Hasn't he done enough? Isn't he worthy of our trust? So let's do that. Let's just raise our hands now. Let's raise our hands. Don't fight this, just let it go. Father, I just want to thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you for loving me. Just repeat this after me. God, I thank you for loving me. God, I thank you for flowing through me. I thank you for filling me with love for you. And God, I believe in you. I believe in who you are. I believe in what you do. I believe that you love me and you're for me. And God, right now I trust you. I trust you, Father. I trust you, Daddy. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my past. I trust you with my family and my future. God, I trust you with everything, with all that I am. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my heart. And you know, after we've given our pain and our trust, He cleaned us up and he fixed us up. Jesus takes our heart, he pulls it out. All the stuff that's happened to our life, all the little bits of stuff that's stuck in our hearts, all the shards, all the sharp stuff, all the glass, all the bits, Jesus pulls them out one by one, as he's doing now. All the things we know and all the things we don't. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for filling every heart now. Every place of vacuum, for filling it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your love right down deep inside of who we are. God, we thank you for renewing our heart. Jesus, I thank you now for your blood, which is a disinfectant, which covers our wounds, which covers the healing, which covers the scars, which covers it all, Lord. Your blood, which kills every germ. Your blood, Jesus, which covers and heals and restores. God, we thank you that all past is done and finished. God, I thank you that every heart is renewed. Everyone in their inner man, in their inner being, God, we thank you for a heart transplant. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning them and protecting them. God, we thank you, you bind us up. We thank you, Lord, for our new heart of flesh. God, I thank you right now for giving my brothers and sisters hearts of flesh. Hearts which aren't heavy and cold and lifeless and chipped and sharp and scarred anymore. But God, hearts of flesh which beat and feel and live and love. Dad, we thank you. We trust you. We love you. We believe in you. We thank you, Lord, for putting us back together, for binding us up, for healing us, God, from the inside out.
Thank you, Lord. So just stay in this receiving mode. Now we're going to go into a time of soaking. So we'd like you just to find your own space in the room somewhere where you're most comfortable and where you can really open yourself up and listen to what God's saying to you. You know, this isn't about praying or prophesying or speaking in tongues or anything like that. It's about listening to God. God's been speaking to every one of us tonight about all those things that Paul's been saying. I just wonder what he's speaking to you about specifically tonight. So if you go and find your own space somewhere, sitting down, lying down, whatever's comfortable for you, will you just do that? We're going to have 20 minutes of this soaking time. And at the end of 20 minutes, I'll let you know so that you know when it's over and it's time to finish. This is the last thing we're doing tonight. You know, God wants to touch you and speak to you more tonight if you let him. He wants you to keep surrendering to him so he can keep speaking to you. You know, I was swinging my son Nathaniel around on a little chair today. You know, I told you about my son a couple of weeks ago, my two-year-old son. Swinging him around on this chair and he fell off and he hurt himself and he cried and it broke my heart. You know, I just wanted to see him better and healed, but he wouldn't stop crying for a little bit. And you know, God wants to see you healed and better. He wants to stop your tears, to wipe them all away. He wants to speak to you and show you new things tonight. So will you let him do that? Just let him do that. We're going to do this for 20 minutes now, and I'll tell you when that time is over. Please just respect each other. All right, try and be silent and just receive. Okay, bless you.